Thank you.
Go.
Welcome everybody to the budget scrutiny panel meeting.
Hello.
Welcome everyone. Members, please also know that under the openness of local government bodies regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recording is not under the council's control. And also, in this meeting is being recorded and it is available on the council's website. Item one, apologies.
Councillor Barclay, who had been invited to this meeting as the member, gives his apologies, Chair.
Okay. Do we know any reasons why Councillor Barclay is? Because he didn't come to the last one as well, so he'd be apologies for the last one.
I believe he had a prior appointment. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was. I think he did. I think 2 or 3 months ago he did intend to come to this particular meeting, but clearly some things come up.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. We have minutes of the previous meeting. Can I ask that I can sign these up as true and accurate records of that meeting?
Yeah,
I
was.
Okay, thank you very much. And then item three is the disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Not to declare, I'm just going to declare any interest in the MTFS off the county council and the councillor seating as well, I think. Item 4 is declarations of the party whip. No declarations of the party whip. No questions. We've got item 5 questions under scrutiny committee procedures 11.17. No questions were submitted. Which takes us to item 6, which is the draft medium term financial strategy for 2019 to 2022, which is on the substantive of our discussions today. So Simon, over to yourself.
Thank you.
Take us through this paper and then we'll come on and set any questions, we'll go through those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So for the sound recording, Simon Jackson, who's the Strategic Director of Corporate Services speaking. Yes, you have in front of you in the paper the draft medium-term financial strategy 2019 to 2022. It is a draft. It was presented to Cabinet on the 13th of September. We're now in a consultation stage with this and with a final draft that is due to go to Cabinet in November, so the 15th of November is that date. The purpose of this document and that final document is principally to really set out what our best estimate or projection of the Council's financial position is over the next 3 years and to inform our budget setting process. So that's really the context document. I suppose when we can cut to the chase, the real heart of the document, the guts of the document, whichever way you would like to put it, is on page 35 of your pack. And this is sort of heavily table 11 financial projections. I don't know if you have a look at that. So really that's a table. The bottom numbers, just to so you maybe be sure, there's a bottom figures headed cumulative use of reserves over the period of the medium-term financial strategy. So that we've got numbers of 9, 10, 1, 2, 7, 6, and then 1, 0, 4, 8. So that's a table I'm referring to. So just in terms of context, Chalmers got a history of not necessarily using reserves, and some of the situations being masked because sometimes the situation is rather masked because when we set the budget, we have to estimate the starting position, and sometimes the starting position is better than what we project due to underspend or other factors arising in the current financial year. But in just as a context, in the financial year 2017-18, we did in fact use some of our usable general fund reserves. So in that particular financial year, the total of such reserves fell from 12.6 million to 11.3 million. Now, some of that was capital expenditure, so the situation is not, it's slightly muddy, but nonetheless, the council is in a situation where we are starting to use our reserves. And although our reserve position is healthy, as we will get to see, it's sort of an important context to note that the time of complacency is gone now, really. If you look at the, if you were to look at the sort of top of the page, top of the table on page 35, you can see what we're projecting in terms of net service expenditure. So we've got that top line goes from 18,656, 19,665, 25,62. So there's quite an increase there, and the main reason why we're projecting an increase at this stage. Because essentially, what those numbers are a reflection of the services operating at in their current format and with broadly their current level reserves, is actually the impact of the fleet and the environmental services contract. So, if you were to sort of turn back to page 29, which again. Which talked about the principal adjustments to the 2018-19 budget, you will see down that table there's sort of two-thirds of the way down that table environmental services contract, and basically where we are now is in a situation where we're in a contract extension and the fleet, which is a very expensive part of the contract, has been fully depreciated, so we're benefiting at the moment from a particularly low cost period within that contract. But you can see the increases in 2019-20 are 358, and then we've got numbers of 1060 and 1518. And that, there are obviously clearly other ups and downs, so the salaries and the pension on costs, but those particular increases are what are driving the top line growth in our expenditures. So the 18656, 19665, 2562, they are the. There's lots of ups and downs in there, but that is the main factor why our expenditure is shown to be increasing as such.
Can I just ask a question on
that? Yeah.
The extension to the contract, was it 2 years?
It currently is 2 years, I believe, yes.
Yeah, we're going to pay for all of the fleet, so it's going to be still pretty valuable by the end of 2 years. Is it in our interest to spend all that money when we don't know what's going to happen in 2 years' time?
So I think where we are now, is the fleet's fully depreciated. So we are looking very heavily into buying the fleet from the date of the contract extension, which is not where we are now. It's so when the contract extension starts in a couple of years, and that would be for a.
Not until the end of the extension.
We're in an extension period now, and then it's likely we will extend the contract further. So we're in a 2 year extension now. Then there'll be a longer period of extension for 5 to 7 years, and we'll look to buy the fleet. And the reason we might look to do that rather than have the contract buy that is essentially we can borrow money a lot more cheaply than the contractor can. So therefore, the contract doesn't have to reflect those finance costs in the bill that we will pay. So there is a bit of a financial engineering trick in, or not trick, but there's a financial engineering logic to that, and that's what we're planning to do.
Okay. Can I just dig a bit deeper? So if it's more beneficial for us to do that, is that kind of negotiated when the contract is put together?
Yes, it's all part of it. I mean, what we've got in the numbers now, and when we go... These will be refined for November, so the environmental services contract, I know we know more detail now than we knew when we put these together. We won't know the final numbers, but that's all part of the negotiation process. So there's obviously quite a lot of elements to the contract. It's a big complicated contract, there's lots of elements to negotiate, but the fact that we would be doing this, or we can offer to do this, would be part of the overall negotiation strategy.
Okay,
thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mary.
So if you would, if you then go down the,
it's on page 35.
So we're still on page. Sorry, back to page 35. If you then sort of go down the next line is interest receivable. So we're broadly assuming. So there is a presentational thing in here, but I'll get to it very shortly. But in terms of the interest receivable line, that assumes that our treasury management operations continue to be as effective as they are now. So that's a sort of no change position on on interest receivable. You know, you might take a different view on long-term interest rates, but without getting into the detail of the national economy, where the economy is, what the Bank of England view on interest rates will be, it is a moot point. But that's a standstill assumption in there. Then there's a subtotal, and then we get to the transformation and efficiency plan. So those are numbers 430, 650 and 910. So maybe it's worth just quickly running through that. I think this is so that's on page 32 of your pack. So hopefully at the bottom of that table you'll see those same numbers 430, 650 and 910. So what we're assuming there is that the top line, the expenditure is, are the things that would happen anyway, assuming no changes. What the transformation and efficiency plan is a reflection of the management actions and activities that we are undertaking at the moment within the council. Now, some of the numbers within this plan are more solid than others, but the idea of these is it actually represents some of the proactive things that we're doing. So, but not necessarily in order, but the first one, proactive treasury management. So if you recall the table, we've said it's going to be a standstill position of 325. For presentational purposes, well, we're saying, okay, although the core assumption is a standstill position, we are actually doing things around our treasury management to be a little bit more proactive. So at the moment, we've invested in property funds. We also loan money to other local authorities, which increase our risk slightly, have an impact on our liquidity to some extent, but allow us to get a greater return. So we all remember, well, those of us who've been here a certain amount of time remember the issues we had with our Icelandic bank, but nonetheless, we think some judicious additional risk acceptance and lots of liquidity is worth an additional revenues we can generate, obviously on a case-by-case basis. So that's what that one says. So for presentation purposes, though, that we're presenting that separately. The other one there actually is on the contract efficiencies. So within major contract efficiencies, two-thirds of the way down, we've sort of reflected again, although the numbers might be refined, we've reflected the fact that this will be the contract as is, but we're actually going to do something proactive, which is around financing the fleet to sort of try and mitigate the impact of those cost increases. So I say some of these numbers are more solid than others. Probably the big one to point out, increased fees and charges. Most of that represents planned or in fact existing and planned increases in garden waste schemes. There's
the brown bin.
The brown bin. So most of that, I think 240 out of the 250 in for next year is the brown bin, and that's actually starting to come through now, so we're pretty confident with that figure. And then the other big number is the one right at the bottom, continuous improvement and service level efficiencies. What we've actually seen is a history of underspends in various services throughout, you know, recent years, but in virtually all the years I've been here. So what this says is, you know, this is something we need to continue to work at, and by working at it we should be able to drive out efficiencies sort of 100,000 next year, and as we work on it we'll that sort of figure increases. So there, the next year there, the big numbers are the 250 and the 150, and then some of the others are maybe some are more speculative than others, but that sort of gives a flavour of what we're trying to achieve. So that's the sort of net expenditure side of the MTFS.
Could I ask something?
Yeah, sure.
For my understanding, please. Commercialisation.
Yeah.
You've got the 10 there, negative, and then goes to 20 and the zero. Could you just explain that?
Yes, so we've got, again, this is to some extent a place marker, but we are looking into the possibility of starting a trade waste service. So at the moment, we commercial waste is collected from collected by other providers. I don't know who they are. I think Veolia I've seen doing it. So what we're saying is that there's 10,000 in brackets, so next year we're going to do some work and some setup costs will actually, that will be a net cost of £10,000 next year. I think we're anticipating that the service might commence in 2021.
Right.
The service will be new, so this assumes a break-even situation in that year. And then the following year, we are assuming a small level of profit will start to be generated from that. Now, again, that's the idea of it. There's quite a lot of work to do to actually refine quite what we're going to do and when and the timings of it. So we've certainly had the initial idea and done the initial investigations, but it is something that's going to come to pass over the next few years. Hopefully, actually, if you were to extend into sort of 2022-23 and subsequent years, we might see that particular idea generating more returns. That's obviously what we're hoping, but for the purposes of this presentation, it is something we're doing, and we did want to reflect it in the MTFS.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want questions by section, Simon, or do you want me to wait till the end?
However you feel is easier. Think we'll go question by section, then we're on the track.
I need to make a comment on the record. Okay, I'm livid tonight that there's no cabinet member here. On page 5 of the minutes, this panel expressed in item 1, item J, whatever it is, on the members of the panel made the following comments. It was expected that cabinet members invited to the panel's October meeting would be able to explain in detail the framework for setting the budget, including what decisions have been made, the reasons for those decisions, and what options have been considered. Such explanations should address the different approaches applied to statutory services, added value services, and their priority and self-sufficiency. This MTFS is going to be passed in November, and I, for one, feel like I'm having the piss taken out, actually, quite blunt. Not by Simon. Simon's an officer and he has to be here and do his job, so I'm not no aspersion to Simon. I'm livid. This is going to get passed by Cabinet, and we will never have had the opportunity to question a Cabinet member on this budget. I'm absolutely livid. We made it completely clear that we expected a different approach at this meeting. So I, for one, have wasted my time in any work I've done on these budgets. I've got last year's budgets, I've got questions from last year. I have completely wasted any time whatsoever because Simon cannot answer policy questions, and I'm absolutely livid, and I will express my concern within my own group and my own devices. I'm livid, and there's absolutely no other way to describe that. I personally made it completely clear my view of the budget setting process. As far as scrutiny is concerned, I am having the piss taken out of me. Sorry to use such foul language. I do not like it, and I'm livid.
Okay, just as chair, can we both refrain from that kind of language?
I'm livid.
Thank you. Councillor Seaton.
I came in a bit earlier today, when Michael walked in. This sentence was what I was reading, and working out what I would actually say, and I was going to leave it until the end. But I'm not livid. I'm just extremely disappointed that the part of the scrutiny review picked out that cabinet member leadership should be there, be present in all of them. It's a small committee, a small panel anyway, and I'm extremely disappointed with the cabinet for not supporting this.
Yeah.
And like Jeff, I don't know why I'm here, really.
I'm extremely disappointed on behalf of the public we represent.
Okay, that's fine. Can I go to Mary and then we can...
Yeah, I'll come back to my physical questions on numbers.
A question, but following what's been said, I mean, I agree completely. Mm-hmm. This is my first time I've been on this particular committee, and I thought it was going to be quite a positive way of working, especially if you've got a cabinet lead coming along and you could ask him questions and what have you. So I would sympathise with that. And in fact, I think in the minutes, the minutes need to reflect that we were, whatever word you want to use, extremely disappointed. We didn't have the opportunity. Maybe there's personal reasons, maybe there's very good reasons, right? But all the same, you know, the fact is we were expecting a cabinet lead and have not turned up, and we haven't had a full explanation. So I think that should be minuted. But my question, going back to page 32.
Mary, for that part of the question, can I go to Jeff first so you can answer this and then we'll come back to yourself? Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. So if we minute, just to close up our appointment, and I don't know what panel members want to do, but this is the second meeting on the trot now that the lead member hasn't turned.
We have four, don't we?
Yeah, so we have four, so we definitely want them in the December one, the 12th of December, I think, our next meeting.
Too late.
I understand, but it's better to have too late. There,
this is what happened with the outturn of the accounts. The outturn of the accounts were not scrutinised before council passed them. Other members perhaps have faulted that for not calling it into the appropriate places at the appropriate times. It is not acceptable that on behalf of the public, I am in a room where I am being asked to question these. I can ask Simon technical questions about numbers and possibly about information. I cannot ask any policy questions around the framework, the direction of travel with the budget, the director of travel with the numbers. I cannot ask any of those questions, which is the sole point. The whole reason we got all of this minuted at the last meeting was specifically for this not to happen again. And there is more than one individual capable of coming into this room to answer questions, and if nothing else, to listen and to be questioned purely on the basic function of scrutiny. And I refrain from the language I used earlier, and I apologise. I am livid to be treated like that.
Okay.
I expect better of my colleagues on all sides of the House, on all sides of this council. I do not expect to be treated in that way, and I am livid at the situation. And I'm living on behalf of the public, who are now sitting here pointlessly because there is nobody listening, and Cabinet will pass this and we will never have done our job.
Okay, thank you very much for that. And we've got that noted, our strong...
So I'd like to minute that. A couple of things that you might want to think about, either before you go into the rest of the questions or afterwards in terms of process. So your options might be to have another meeting before this goes to back to Cabinet. It will, because it forms part of the set of documents that make up the budget in its broadest sense, go to full council.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity then to make some of the comments that you made tonight if I haven't found a mechanism of satisfactory resolving them in the meantime. So options would be a further meeting, which obviously would need to be arranged fairly swiftly because it's going back to Cabinet. In about 5 weeks' time.
I think 15th of November. So
six weeks' time. The other option would be, as you're thinking about your questions, to identify the ones that you would have asked the lead member had he been present, and I can sort of make a note of those, and you can ask the lead member to make a written response to those to this.
No, I think that just sends the wrong signal.
So the option of having arranging another meeting to
I've got Brenda, and then we can come back to that.
It's just a quick comment, and would the cabinet lead member have seen that particular paragraph or question, observation by the panel?
Well, to be honest, you would think a cabinet lead for finance would be interested in what the budget scrutiny committee is doing, and he would have had the
option then to have given us a written answer.
In advance.
Because we have not been informed until yesterday.
So
up until yesterday,
we thought he was still attending.
And probably he thought he was still attending. As you say, all sorts of things could happen. So hopefully this was done. the framework could have been sort of explained in written form. It wouldn't have been satisfactory, but at least it would have been an attempt to address what the committee.
We are not Northamptonshire County Council, and we are not in that position. However,
but we still
one
have
of the
duty.
Factors in that situation and others in other areas and walks of life is that scrutiny didn't do its job, because it was at some times the individuals involved didn't do the job properly, at other times it was not given the respect it should have for the questioning of our officials on behalf of the public, the people making the decisions, spending the public's money. If I cannot question those people, I am not doing the job of scrutiny. I can't put my name to the document because I haven't done my job on behalf of the public. I have been prevented from doing that by other people.
So we have the proposal from Michael.
Yeah.
Let's do the one at a time. To adjourn the meeting, in essence, and reconvene. Mm-hmm. So we have diary clashes, obviously, but we do have 6 or 7 weeks before the next meeting. 6 weeks, let's say.
Probably about 5 in reality, Chair, because yeah. you'd obviously okay. want to
yeah, feed
give the chance to
feed
yeah. yeah, okay. So
when is the cabinet meeting?
It's 15th, mid-November.
I think if the 13th or the 15th, if one of those dates is
it's the Thursday,
this is the 15th, Thursday the 15th. And the agenda for that meeting would be published...
The Monday before or the Tuesday before?
Get this right.
Well, 2nd of November.
2nd of November.
Wow.
30th of October.
What's 30th of October, sorry?
To have another meeting.
Oh, by 30th, yes.
Yeah. Triple H, you've also got to check with the Cabinet Leads diary.
And also yeah. our officers' diary here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So perhaps a few options.
I'm a missing editor.
Maybe we're having me paying rent if I'm not here.
Just for members, sorry, Sue, I will come back to yourself. Just so members know, we do have, some of us, not all of us, we will have a call in next Monday, so scrutiny will be meeting again next week, Monday.
What, the 8th?
Yeah, the 8th, and you're on there, Brenda.
I'm not.
And on the 24th...
I've given an apology.
Somebody come in and sell yourself, okay. And then on the 24th as well. So the only week that we do have free, that scrutiny isn't meeting, there may be different scrutiny panels, but budget scrutiny or scrutiny management one is the week of the 15th.
Of October.
Half term for some is that week and some is the week after. Mm-hmm. Both those weeks are half term, unfortunately, now.
I can't do it.
That's quite close, isn't it?
About the
29th. I've just put some dates now.
The thing is, do we need to adjourn? That's the other question I was going to say. Do we need, or can we carry on? I know we won't get any answers from the lead member.
If we carry on, at least we're raising points, because we've done our homework, so we can raise them and they'll be minuted.
Yeah.
You would hope then that if a date doesn't get agreed for the next meeting, the Cabinet League would reread the minutes, plus the minutes from today, and at least come prepared for the points that we've raised, and we won't all have wasted
our
time.
Well, it's your time getting here today.
Just depends whether a statement is being made or not.
But if this,
I don't mind not throwing my toys out. Mm.
But if he can't make the next meeting,
it makes
we're
it
in a mess.
Yeah,
we've done
that's
nothing.
What I was gonna say.
There's a risk.
What we'll do then, we'll carry on with this meeting if you're all in agreement, and then when we get to the end, if there's anything that there's we haven't asked, or maybe we haven't been teased out, we can ask for a written response.
Yeah. We've got to make sure before we book a meeting that whoever it is can be here.
I think it is probably, it's not for me to speak, but it's probably a good idea to at least try and address some things now, because I think the diary challenges might be difficult. I know I'm rather selfishly leaving here briefly, and I am actually in Lanzarote on the Nottinghamshire school half term, which is actually...
I've just come back, it's lovely.
I'm going the week before you go.
I'm going about the week of about the 27th I'm going, so not that's important particularly, but I'm also slightly conscious that I'll probably be between heads of service, so you may know that I'm not necessarily critical, but Claire's leaving us as well. So there might be a bit
there's
of
a lot
there.
Going on.
Might be a bit of a gap.
So we
have done a recruitment. If there is a new lady who's going to start, but timing wise,
it's not ideal.
I don't think, in fairness, she could start and be here on day three and answer the questions. That will be.
We are being recorded.
I'm hoping. You know, I think just in fairness, that would be that would be difficult for her.
So there's two proposals. Obviously, we can adjourn the meeting and rearrange. Subject to all our areas agreeing, which is going to be a lot more difficult, let's say, than we think it is. Or we can just carry on and ask the questions that we've come to ask. Yeah. Find out as much question answers as we can from the offices here.
Or the cabinet lead could reply in writing to us all.
Yeah.
If there
are any
he's
questions.
He's got enough information to go on. We don't have after tonight.
Are we happy to do that?
Yeah. I'm happy to do that. Again, disappointed. I think it's confidence. Having confidence in a piece of work, I would expect the cabinet lead to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing that he wasn't here last time as well,
yeah.
I wasn't aware of that because I wasn't here myself. No alternative, anyway.
Carry on. Right, so we can carry on. Okay, so Jeff, going to your questions about budget matters.
Let's just deal with
this. And then I'll go to Mary and then Brenda.
Mate, a couple of questions around net service expenditure.
Okay.
So, a couple of points, Simon. What do we know differently that we didn't know last year? When we predicted 2021 net service expenditure last year for 2021, we predicted 18.7 million.
Yeah.
We're now predicting 19.6, so we've gone up 900,000 on net projected in the space of a year.
Jeff, what page are you on? So just
so I'm using the page 35, but I also have last year's MTFS
that we examined. Okay.
So I have last year's projection. So 1 year ago, we were saying that the 2021 expenditure will be 18,704, and I doubt that we didn't know the changes to the environmental services contracts 1 year ago, which I recognise is the substantial increase in the figures from 1920 to 2020, 21, 22. I recognise there's alignment between those figures and the net service expenditure increases to an extent, but I struggle to think we didn't know that last year. So what's happened? What do we know now that significantly increased the 2021 net service expenditure? Because I doubt we didn't know that about the environmental services contract. Unless you tell me we didn't know it, which I would be horrified.
I think we obviously knew the environmental services contracts were coming up. I think we were expecting an increase. We probably, in fairness, weren't expecting the levels that were fed back to us, because of course this time last year we hadn't engaged with the supplier and now we have. So I think there's some of that. I think some of the other things that we didn't know necessarily last year were the extent of the local government pay increases, which are sort of 2% rather than 1%. So I think last year I'm virtually certain that we projected 1% pay increases, so we've got a couple of percent in the way that washes through, both with the actual payroll costs themselves and the on costs, make a significant difference. And quite frankly, it's just every year we know more because time passes and we just sort of amend our projections accordingly. So we'll have another year of experience of actual. So I think the environmental services, I think probably knowing more of the detail of that, and then the pay increases are probably the main two items.
So given that argument, then the interest receivable last year we predicted in 2021 would be 375,000.
Yeah.
Now we've taken a more aggressive approach in Treasury with what we're doing with our reserves.
Yes.
And we've reduced the amount of money we're bringing
in. Yes.
our projections on that money. So again, that seems counterintuitive to me, that at a point last year when we were in the process of taking a more aggressive approach with the Treasury, we were looking to increase that income. We've taken it down by 50,000 in 2020-21, which seems to me completely counterintuitive to everything you've just said about we now know more aggressive Treasury approach,
The interest receivable is based on the interest rates we believe that we're likely to achieve. So I think if you would, and again, I couldn't be absolutely certain, but I think that this time last year we were probably expecting interest rates to rise more quickly than they have been experienced has actually shown us. So at any one point in time, interest rates may go up or down, or the projections that we receive of future interest rates may go up and down depending on Bank of England outlook on inflation, etc. So when we look at the MTFS, and again when we revise it, we'll probably revisit this as well on the interest rate projections that we get from our Treasury advisors. So that probably does maybe show a little bit more volatility than you might expect due to the volatility of the interest rate projections.
I've deliberately involved myself in Treasury issues, and I'm not completely convinced that that's a logical sequence of arguments. Without going now drilling down to the detail of each piece of the decision making behind the 325, we took a more aggressive approach with the property investments, and we are still in a rising interest rate climate. And I understand that projection 2021 might not have been as high, but it doesn't make sense to me.
And then the other thing we would obviously take into account is what we've actually achieved as well. So past performance will always influence what we're doing. So I think when we're looking at this as well, our current Treasury performance, where we are on current year budgets, will also influence what we think is achievable going forward based on where we are now and then the projections going forward.
I could argue, the year before that argument again wouldn't have held truck. The year before we predicted almost zero, and we came in 275,000 above or whatever.
Yes.
So again, I'm not getting what I want in terms of just the logic of the rate. I can't get my head around the volatility, to use your word, of where we are. I would be, you know, to predict just hardly anything, and then we get 275,000, and you know, that's a margin increase, more aggressive approach. Interest rates have gone up since we've had one interest rate rise. It's just the usual forecasting. I know it's a difficult process with the accounts, but the Treasury is one of the areas where I would want more certainty. But the 2021 figure of 375 predicted last year relative to now 50,000, it's a lot relatively in the percentage wise. But these are difficult bits to drill down into, all the different facets of what we're doing in the Treasury account.
Can I just ask a bit on there, so I can understand, Jeff, if you wouldn't mind? So it's projected, if we're looking at the 1920, projected 325, so what was the actual last year?
I'm afraid I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, we're still in effect, of course.
You're still in that.
We're in this year now, so it's a question about turn. So
so would it be round about 325?
I think that's what we're...
So what do you think that this year will end?
I think this year we're looking at about 300. I think that's off the top of my head. So I think if you want to know what the budget was and outturn last year, and then where we are this year against budgets, I've obviously can I get access to those figures? I haven't got them too much.
So if you predicted, I don't know what was predicted last year, Jeff.
Last year, in the MTF last year for 2020-21, we predicted 375.
No.
We presented linear growth.
1920
was 325, which they kept consistent, even though we've taken a more aggressive approach. And maybe interest rates haven't risen quite as high.
Presentationally, don't forget, in the transformation and efficiency plan, we are actually, with the Treasury receipts are in two phases. So the 325 is a standstill position, and the 25 additional in the transformation and efficiency plan does reflect more aggressive approach. So in totality, I suppose we're projecting 350.
Okay.
So it is more aggressive in totality. The transformation plan, as I sort of tried to explain, is designed to reflect that we are taking proactive steps to address some of the issues, and some of that comes out of the as a response to the peer challenge that we had back in March.
Okay. Just before we go on, is there any more of your presentation that you go through for the rest?
That's
just on the service expenditure. If I wanted to stop, that was the expenditure items.
We're financing all of that to go through.
So the other bit, the sort of biggest risk areas the biggest risk areas to the financing are actually on the funding side, really. So this is sort of